You know, a lot of things go through your head at the close of something like this. And the people that I've talked to during the week and have been very blessed with the word of God that's been shared, and I've been just very, very blessed as well. It's a tremendous example of the mystery living amongst everyone, not just the teachers. Teachers teach because they love the teacher's task and eyes that open and minds that ask. And something in Romans, you can go there, chapter 1. Sure been in Romans a lot this week. And I feel like this a lot. I would say almost everywhere I go, I feel like these two verses are alive and present, which is a tremendous blessing for me. In 11, verse 11, it says, "For I long to see you," and certainly that's true for me. I don't know when I started thinking about this camp seriously. Well, it was in November when I put myself in a hotel room for a couple days and just pray and think about the upcoming year. But, I mean, more recent, I don't know when, but the anticipation of being together in a setting like this where we can all hear God's word over a period of time, my heart pants in anticipation to be with a portion of the family of God. You're my family. And I'm very thankful that I have such a great family. You're my family. I look around the room and I see people, you know, I know where all of you work for the most part. I've known your kids since the time they're born, many of you. And so I, you know, the relationship I have with you is far supersedes any relationship I ever had with my earthly family. And that was something that I didn't know I needed. But boy, when I got into the Word of God, it was something that, oh, God, I can be myself. I can be myself and be loved. I can be myself and be accepted. For I long to see you. And as I was anticipating this, Bob mentioned it briefly, but you know, you start praying and you start thinking about, well, what to do? I mean, what is there going to be a theme? What's the theme? How will everything fit? What do we do on Sunday? What do we do on Monday? Hey, and then talk it over with the greatest leaders in the world that I know of. See what they think. Talk it over. I long to see you. Thank you. Thank you for not only fulfilling my longing, but exceeding my longing by your prayerful presence, by your hunger and desire to know God's word, by your desire to come and perhaps get answers that you've needed for years and years. I know how these things go. It's like you get strobe lights in your eyes for a few days, and you're just like, what? Not that you're all from the pit of hell, but we all have needs that gang up on us once in a while. Some are aware of, some we're not aware of. Some we don't even have any clue what the hell's going on with us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it in, let it in. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. It'll make manifest darkness. You know what that means? It stirs you up. Really can stir you up. And I've seen that. I've watched that this week. It stirred many of you up. And then as you continue to allow that word of Christ to dwell in you richly, it's dispelled. And all of a sudden, you feel different. And it's a nice feeling. It's a cleansing feeling. It's a feeling, and you know, I know feelings come and go. Don't teach me that, all right? I understand that. But there's a peace there. It's like your anxiousness is blank. It's not there anymore. It's gone. You know what? It's okay. It's okay. Nick taught on that. You know what I love about these things also? I never remember who taught what. And that's kind of good. Because what you want to learn is the word. I'm not overwhelmed by Bob's teaching any more than I am by Stephanie's teaching. Not at all. When you start doing that, you'll get into some very shaky ground. The word of God is the will of God. No matter if, and I remember, man, I was so mad at Jesse when he was a kid once. I wanted to smack, well, I really did. I wanted to punch him in the face. I was so mad at him. He was such a smart ass. And I was out of fellowship, and he was up on the stairs. I was coming after him, man. I was going to get him. And he shared a scripture with me, and it just stopped me in my damn tracks, which pissed me off even more. But not really, not really, because he shared the word, and it was the right word at the right time. And I have to say, amen, because it's the word. No matter if it was a smart aleck or someone who isn't as educated, it's God's word. So because of that, I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual blessing, you know, some gift of God's grace. This was Paul talking, of course, to the Romans, but this is my heart, to the end that ye may be established. And certainly when I do a fellowship in my home, or when I meet with the fellow laborers, or go to Cherry Hill, or go to Atlanta, or wherever I go, and have the privilege and honor of sharing my life, really, I think of this verse. I want to help assist others in the word. Now, sometimes that's met with resistance. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That's not going to diminish my desire to bless somebody, to help somebody along the way, you know. This was Paul's heart, and this was my heart. But that's not all. Verse 12. That is, let me explain this to you, he's saying, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And that's what I've seen this week. Your expectation, your believing to receive God's word has been great. Therefore, when somebody comes up here and has the privilege of teaching, it's cake. And it was that way from the very first day. Sometimes it takes a couple days to get it going. The very first day, you were ready to hear God's word. Now, maybe you came in with some opportunities and problems. That's okay. But you came ready to hear God's word, and I know that. And it was an awesome sight to behold, because then you just build upon that. And, you know, it's mutual. It's a mutual comfort. It's a comfort for me to have people to be able to share God's word with that want it. It would be very difficult for me if I was out living someplace where there weren't hardly any believers. It would really be, for me, it would be really, really hard on me. But you know what I would do? I'd get a fellowship. I'd go down to the local whatever restaurant. That's how I started in Atlanta. I went to Denny's every day. I got my sports page and I spoke the word to the first person I saw every day. Every day. And then when I moved to New Jersey, I did the same thing. I wanted to get to know the neighborhood. I wanted to listen to the gossip. I wanted to hear what was going on. But I also wanted them to know who the hell I was, that Jesus Christ was in town. Not me, but the Christ in me. Christ in me is in town, claiming it's my town, damn it. It's God's town. And it wasn't too long after I started doing that at Denny's, we got this family, this couple in the Word, Wallace and Lori Tamplin. And but I'm sure thankful that I have people to be able to share God's Word with. We're kind of spoiled in a way, but I don't mind that. It's tremendously comforting to be able to come to something like this and to be able to be with people like you. It is healing to my soul. It's delivering to my soul. I have needs as well. So do these men of God that have shared. They have plenty of needs. But they're so doggone great in that they love to hear the word as much as they love to share it. They're not egotistical. They're not any of that. We have great privilege, you know, that we got these men. Diane shared about the silver Thunderbirds last night, and so I still get chills thinking about what God did for us there. But it wasn't that long ago, here at this camp, we ordained Dean, Albert, Bob. How long ago was that?
10 years.
Well, I'd never done anything like that before. Is it all right if I just share a little bit of stuff? Because really, you know, my teaching that I've prepared tonight is a blank page. I'm looking like it. But, I believed it was right. Matter of fact, I had told Albert and Dean, how many years before that? Yeah.
About like a year or 4 months prior.
Tell them what I did to you, poor guys. God, it was terrible. What? Speak up. You got to speak up, Al.
We were at a day in the Word, and we were all setting up. He said, I want to talk to you. So we walked off into the parking lot, and then you said, I want to, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm thinking of ordaining you guys. What do you think? And I studied the book of Tim. And then
you walk away. Yeah. And so that was, I looked at everything I could look at. I read everything I could read about how to do it and what to do and why it would be right. And that was overload for me almost in my little brain. But I knew it was right. And by this time, all the men knew that they were going to get ordained, and I knew I was going to do it here. Was it an advance, right?
Yeah.
And so I know it's right, but I am scared. Maybe that's just the downright bottom line. I was afraid to oversee something of that magnitude. Maybe that's the right way to phrase it. I was sure nervous, that's for sure. That's, sometimes you say, I'm not afraid, I'm just nervous, but you're probably afraid. Anyway, so I believe God wanted me to meet on that grass near the water, and there's a nice natural hill. And so everybody sat there, and I had not told anybody in the state that they were getting ordained. So I needed to let the people know where we were headed, but I didn't really know how to do it. So I had everybody on that hillside, and I'm shook as crazy, and this little 5-year-old boy, he came up and he said, I want to lead a song. And I said, okay, go ahead. And he led this song. He's got the whole world in his hands, got the little bitty baby in his hands. And I went, my God, I couldn't believe that God did that for me. When I was 5 years old in Youngstown, Ohio, I used to go to the street and lead that song to the cars that would pass by. So when he started, I was like, Father, you're just incredible. So then I was ready, God does so many great things for us. This week he's done great things for us. Go to Psalm 34. Now, of course, you know, as blessed, so blessed you are, each day here has seemed like a week, and the week has seemed like a day. And there's a lot of things that you wrote down or you noted that you're not going to remember. So when you get back to wherever you are, it might be a good idea to go over your notes and take some time to think about it and, you know, pray and ask God to fill you up even more. And again, Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I love this because David was a man after God's own heart. And by David's freedom of will, he decided to bless the Lord at all times. I will. You talk about confession of belief, yields receipt of confession. That, what a confession to make. Like Dr. Worrell closed that chapter out by saying, never again will make a negative confession. I will bless the Lord at all times, David said. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Wow, what an outlook for a day. What an outlook for a life. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Soul life. He made his soul talk about God. He made his mind up to speak about God, to boast about his heavenly Father. And that's something that we can do. We can brag about God like crazy. There's not much bragging you can really do about yourself because you know you suck. But God doesn't. He does not. He's incredible. He's magnificent. I've got a 3-hour teaching I'd like to share right now on God is. There's so many things in the Word that it says God is. He's terrific. He made his soul boast in the Lord, and he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Well, that's what we've done all week. We've magnified God and his word all week together. We've magnified him by the things that we were hearing, the things we were thinking, and then the things that we were even saying. Can you imagine being in New Jersey or wherever we're from and speaking positive for a whole week? That's a miracle. It's a downright miracle. I love you guys. This place is just raw. I sought the Lord. He heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. I forget who shared it. Doesn't matter. David did. God's not hiding from you. Are you hiding from him? Do you not want him to know you? Do you not want him to take care of you? I love Camellia, man. Yeah, you ever want to get love, get near her. She's just the best, man. There's nobody like her. Nobody like any of you. You're irreplaceable. Don't hide from God. Give it up, man. Give it all. Get rid of it. Stop wasting your time thinking you suck. Stop wasting your time holding on to things that have bothered you for years and years and years. Let it go, man. I can't do anything about a misspent past, but I can do plenty about where I'm going and what I'm doing. I got a new day, and today is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, because God is God. I have so much to be thankful for. If you were the only ones in the world, I could be thankful for the rest of my life for you and who you are and what you bring to the table of the family of God. No one can replace you. You know, you can't hear anything if you're always talking. Sometimes people wonder about me, and I don't blame you. But in these things, I'm very watchful and very quiet because I need to be. I need to be. It's my privilege and my responsibility. And I watch things. Yeah. Sometimes talking is just a cover because you don't want anybody to know anything. So you just talk. Would you shut up and listen for once in a while, once in your life, let God take care of you. That's a nice life. They looked unto him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. And again, that's what I see here. You know, people that taught, you looked on them and they shared the word with you and your faces were lightened. This is a fantastic psalm, isn't it? The poor man cried and the Lord heard him. And I remember at the advance that we did, it was Psalm 720, right? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and he saved him. God hears you. He heals you. God hears you. He makes you whole. God hears you. He delivers us from our fears. God hears us. He takes care of our broken heart. God hears us. He gets rid of the turmoil. Half the time when there's something wrong with me, I have no damn clue what's wrong with me. The other half of the time, I don't know either. But God does. You cry out. And I remember teaching that at that advance, and that cry out is like your whole guts, your balls, everything in you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I don't understand all there is to angels, but I know they're present, and I know two of them are good and one of them's bad. And the two that are good are really working. They're working. They're working. I think I'm going to get slapped at the gathering together for all the headaches and all the times there's probably been angels around me. That's my teaching on the gathering together. Hi, Jerry. How you doing? You son of God, you. I got my own thoughts about the gathering. Believe you me. I just know it's going to be better than this pop stand. And we're going. Imagine that. That's all I care. I'm going. But gosh, God's not only taking care of us. He's got his angels. He's got all these, who knows what, watching our backs, our fronts, our bottoms, our ups. You know, when we're down, he's there, man. He's there. So come on, man. Let me take care of you, please. Would you get out of your own way? Just let me take care of you. We're so accustomed sometimes to no one taking care of us, maybe, that we could think, how in the heck can God take care of us? Well, he does. And he will. No matter how, Nick taught it fantastic. It's not how to matter how good or bad. That's not the, have any of you been like Paul? Did you go around killing people that were believers? Did you go to fellowships and put them in prison? So how bad were you? Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. And delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've done that this week. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Happy. You know, it'll show on your face. Are you happy? Like, do you project like you're kind of blessed once in a while? Or are you a brooder? Always brewing. Like Mopey McCoy, I'd like to call him. Mopey McCoy. People who trust God are happy people. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's no want of them that fear him. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Keep seeking. You know, our time frame is not God's time frame so many times. Anybody ever notice that? It's not always the same, is it? We want things now. We come from a social media. We come from an everything's got to be now, now. We got to have it now. Whoa, whoa. You shall reap in due season if you don't what? So take it easy. It's coming. Keep praying. It's coming. Expect great things. It's coming. Many times at things like this, incredible decisions are made. And then within 24 or 48 hours, those decisions are destroyed. Or you just don't hold on to them. These things are very conducive for God working in you because you're in a place that's filled with love. You're in a place that's filled with God's word. You're in a place that's filled with believers. Why wouldn't you think? I just was thinking the other day, God, it's been great. I've been thinking about the word when I go to sleep, and as soon as I wake up, I'm thinking about God. So, isn't that great? I know that's the way we're supposed to be every day, but it sure is nice to get this word of God just bam, bam, bam. I can't get enough of it. People say, you need to sleep more. Why? Why do I need to sleep more? I don't want to miss anything. I haven't been close to tired at this thing. Why? Because of you, because of the word, because the life of God. And we need sleep, I get that. Don't call me this weekend. Do not disturb. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and love many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. I love these little things like, depart from evil, do good. This is how you depart from evil. The way you depart from evil is by doing that which is good, which is also written in Romans chapter 12 in that section of love without hypocrisy. Overcome evil with what? Yeah, it's easy. We could do a long list of what's good. Prayer is good. The word's good. Believers are good. The love of God is good. Blah, blah, blah. You can go on and on and on and on. Sharing. And you may have one bad thing going on. We'll overcome that with all those things that are good. That's not hard. You don't need Hebrew here. Depart from evil, do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. Don't seek a fight. Too many people just love to fight. What's the next fight? Or what's wrong? What's wrong here? What's wrong here? What's wrong? How about seeking peace? Be a godly hippie or something, you know. And pursue it. Go after it. Go after it. And in our lives, we have it. And the way we manifest it is by staying our minds on Him, which was also taught in a brilliant way this week. We focus on God. Somebody taught on meditate. That's exactly right. We consider the words of God more than the words of our own heart. We consider the words of God and we stay our mind. I used to practice the stayed mind so much. Every year I'd go to New York City and go on 42nd Street, bad 42nd Street back in the day, where, you know, I would give a sandwich to a homeless person and sit on a milk crate. And I would stay my mind on God in the midst of whores, pimps, homos, religious people screaming hate, businessmen, the guys playing three card Monte, and I could do it. Buses, horns, I could focus. Man, we got to take care of this because this is what holds the word, or doesn't. We have to take care of our minds. That's how we keep our tongue from evil. That's how we seek peace and we pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on, upon the righteous. Well, are you righteous? First day we met, we talked about that. We're righteous. Righteous. And God's eyes, His focus is on His kids, just like you were with your kids or still are. And His ears are open to their cry. He hears the cry of the righteous. And His ears are open to us. Maybe nobody in the whole world understands you or what's going on with you. And I know that's been true with me, where I've tried to articulate what was going on with me, but wouldn't do a good job, and people would just shake their head. These are believers, good believers, but I can't blame them. But then you think, well, God gets it. He gets it. He gets me. He understands me. If nobody in the world understands me, he does. And he loves me still. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's a good part of the hope. The righteous cry, are you righteous? The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. That's our God. Look at Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's a fantastic verse. Commit thy way also unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall what? And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. 1 Corinthians 10. These are just some things I've been thinking about this week, especially. Here's a verse, boy, I just love it. Think of your situation and maybe part of your life that you're not happy with. Not too long, but just think of it for a moment. And then you read this verse in chapter 10 and in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Don't get all shook about how faithful you are or aren't. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You see, you'll hear yourself going, I don't know how to get out of this mess. I don't know if I can ever get out of it. If I can ever do it. I don't know. I don't know. Really? You're not going to be suffered to be tempted above that which you're able. Whatever it is you got going on, God's made you able men and women. And then the kicker. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Whether you're Steve McQueen riding away on a motorcycle, I don't know. God, everybody's young. Nobody even knows that reference. It's terrible. The Great Escape. But with the temptation also make way to escape. Sickness is a temptation. Illness is a huge temptation. It's not sin, but it's a temptation. It's a result of Adam. And it's a magnificent temptation. A temptation to be afraid of the unknown. You know, what if I have this? What if I have that? Certainly the world is great at reminding you of how unhealthy you are. Sickness is a bad one. Hurt heart, huge one. Probably worse than sickness. No matter what the temptation, he's going to make a way for you to get out of it. Let him. You know, when I was sick and all that stuff, and I was, you know, I died on the table twice, they say. Of course, I was out of it, so I just remember when I did wake up, I never considered that I was going to die. The only thing I could think about was getting to the spring advance was like in my mind and going on vacation with Diane. And I kept that in my mind. That's about the only thing I kept in my mind, because my mind was just, you know, oatmeal. It was gone. It was destroyed. And God just, because of you, healed me. He healed me. And that was a big temptation, I suppose. He always makes a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Obviously, from what's been shared and what we know from the Word, this world is hard. It's cruel. Just like God has a curriculum for us, so does the adversary. He knows what buttons to push. And unless we resist him by putting on the Word of God, then he'll get a small victory, which is screwing us up, even for a day, even for, you know, a moment. We have the privilege of not allowing that. Once it comes, we stand. 1 Corinthians 2. I want to thank everybody also who has helped prepare for this advance. A lot of work goes into things like this. There's a lot of silent workers who work with the love of God, like that food crew. My God, what a great job you guys did. You guys are just so wonderful, and you do it with love. And, you know, it's like the cool thing to be on the food crew, and I love that. You know, and the people that set this room up, the people that did this stage, the people that put the tables on there, the people that did the AV, the people who did the housing, the people who put together the fellowships, the people, you know, the fellowship, wow, you know, you're just best. Thank you for all your help. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Boy, oh boy, haven't we heard so many things this week on who we are and what we have and what we've been given so freely. We're to know the things that have been freely given to us. If you ever study passively, which that's how I've studied this, passively, the things that God loves are the things that we're supposed to love. It says in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Well, you know, it says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the thing of the ungodly or all that. But the word, see? That's what makes us happy. That's what makes God happy. That's a happy situation. That's nice. It's nice. And Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, it's impossible to please God without believing. And this believing thing is so simple, and yet, for some reason, the adversary has made it seem so difficult. When we're trying to believe, you might as well just stop. Because you ain't doing nothing except frustrating yourself. Just accept it like a glass of water. Just take it. It's easy. You drink. It's that way with God's word. God's word is simple. Life is complicated. God's word is simple. And that should be our only rule of believing. That's faith and practice. Believing. That it should be our only rule of believing. That's our rule. That's our rule book. That's what we go by. If the word says it, amen, hallelujah, pass the ammunition, let's go. That's our only rule, is believing. Go to Romans. We'll close here. Chapter 8. We'll just read through here where we started, kind of. Verse 37, it says, nay, and all these things. And, you know, there's 17 of them in there. There's 17 different things. And they're all pretty remarkable. We'll read 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then that, you know, or killed all that. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? Just what Joe shared. Nothing, nothing you could do, nothing that's ever been done to us, nothing that ever will be done to us, nothing that we'll ever do that's bad. I could turn into a Buddhist monk tomorrow. Well, I probably have to have training. you know, I could quit this whole thing and say there is no God. I could say bad things about Dr. Werwell. I could quit. I could take people with me and we could do nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No illness. No mental pressure. no distance, none of these things can separate us. It's impossible to be separated from God's love. It's hard for us to get it because we're used to this. Well, they love me because they gave to me. They don't love me because they don't ever give to me. They love me because they talk to me. They must not love me because they never talk to me. They love me because they always are paying attention to me. They don't love me because they never pay attention to me. How do you know anyway? Nothing can separate us. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A lot has been shared this week in a very short period of time. You know, it says in the Old Testament, the entrance of thy words giveth life, and it gives understanding unto the simple. It's the entrance of God's word. If you have a do not disturb sign on your mind when God's word's being presented, then it's really not entering. It's the entrance of, which comes as a result of receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, as it says in James 1:21. He makes whole our soul. Imagine. He makes whole our soul. And it's with that wholeness and the lifestyle of more than a conqueror, I just thank you once again for coming. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us, how you've called us to be your children, how you've made it available for us to live a life that's more than abundant in every capacity, God. I thank you for your word and for us holding on to what we've heard. Father, I thank you for every person here, all of us, for our health, mental, physical, and spiritual, Father. Get rid of the adversary who's bugging people here in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power and authority of that name. And Father, I just thank you for your peace that passeth understanding to rain and flood our souls. Thank you, Father, for us reaching people who have a desire to know your word so that we can help them. Again, I pray and thank you so much for all the people who have helped make this available this week. And Father, for everybody's trip home, that it can be filled with your life. And Father, for protecting everybody. Sure love you, God. Thanks for the day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Love you. Thanks for coming. God bless.